Yes, I would like to say welcome to this lecture on the last day of July. Today is the 31st of July, 2014. We are in the first of the two international weeks here in Martinus Center Klint. And the title of my lecture is Being a Spiritual Researcher. And when you talk about research, you talk about science. And if you want to make research in the spiritual area, it is a kind of a new science. And I'm going to talk about it in relationship to Martinus spiritual science. Martinus published his first book, Livets Bog, Volume 1, in 1932. And then he called his work for Spiritual Science or Martinus Spiritual Science. And many years later, in 1960, when he published the last volume of Livets Bog, Livets Bog 7, he also called his collected works for Martinus Cosmology. Cosmos is the living universe, and cosmos is also the opposite of chaos. So cosmology is also the teaching about the ordered, well-ordered universe. And Martinus passed away 90 years old in 1981. And some 5-6 years before, he decided also to call his collected works for the Third Testament. He also characterizes his work as the eternal world picture. And in his very first book, Livets Bog, in paragraph 7, in the preface, he calls his teaching for the eternal wisdom. And the question is, how should you relate to Martinus cosmology or Martinus spiritual science? How should you study Martinus spiritual science? And Martinus has his own sort of definition of science. According to Martinus, the truth is science, or science is the truth. So when a thing is true, it's science. But according to natural science, science is something different. It is a way of making research. In natural science, you normally get a good idea. You have a hypothesis. And then you will confirm your idea. You have to verify the hypothesis. And this means that you make some experiments which can confirm or the opposite of your theory. And if you have a good idea and it's verified and it's confirmed, then others should be able to reproduce the experiments and reach the same result. And then it is science. And science is based on senses. We have 5 physical senses. We can smell, and we can taste, and see, and hear, and we can feel. And we also have some apparatus. We have microscopes and telescopes and different apparatus that can detect. So, and for natural science, it's so. If a thing cannot be sensed or measured, it doesn't exist. But they have a very well-defined area where they work. And Martinus thinks that science is perfect. The science is sovereign as long as it works in its own field. And its own field is defined by its methods. So natural science, they are getting cleverer and cleverer and cleverer along the road because they are working in this way. But then you could say that Martinus, oh, he is the philosopher. He has had a revelation, and that is some speculations. That cannot be science. But actually, in one way, Martinus' spiritual science is a science because Martinus explains that he has not invented the world picture. He has not, as a philosopher, been thinking and found out there must be an eternal world picture. He says that it is based on senses. But Martinus had an extraordinary sense. When Martinus was 30 years old, he had a big enlargement of his consciousness. And he said himself that he was born into a new world, that he got new cosmic senses, that he had got a fully developed intuition, which made it possible for him to sense in the spiritual world. He could sense the eternal laws. He could sense the eternal principles, the cosmical principles. It's not an invention. It's not an idea. He could sense it. Okay, then others should have the chance to reproduce the results. But as far as I know, there are no other people on this planet for the moment being who has a cosmic consciousness. Martinus once was asked, are there other people here on Earth with cosmic consciousness? Martinus said, I don't know, but I would be very pleased to meet some. So, as I understand it, Martinus was such an extraordinary person that he had these extraordinary senses. And if there is nobody here on Earth that have these senses for the moment being, they cannot control it by their own senses. But Martinus, he is talking about a theoretical cosmic consciousness and a self-experienced cosmic consciousness. And Martinus, he had a self-experienced cosmic consciousness. But he experienced it through his intuitive senses. And then he wrote Cosmic Analysis. And Cosmic Analysis is a way to make intuition accessible for normal human intelligence. That means that Martinus, he knew the result from the beginning. And then he sort of constructed some calculations. Then we could follow the calculations of Martinus and reach the right result. When I was in school, we had some arithmetic or math, and we should calculate and eventually reach a result. But the teacher had a list of all results, and it was forbidden for the pupils to have such a list with all the results. But in a way, Martinus has been cheating a little bit, because he had seen all the results from the beginning. But in order to help us, he make a lot of analyses. You can observe so-and-so in life, and you can observe so-and-so, and then it has to be so-and-so, and you can observe that, it will be so-and-so. And then if we follow this chain of thoughts of Martinus, we can reach at the same result. And then we can see that's logical. He helps us to see that it must be like that. And in math, you also have theoretical proofs. You can prove a lot of things in geometry. It is not something that you can measure. But just because it's a theory, it's not a religion. Because in mathematics, you have a lot of theories, but they can be proven by means of a logical argumentation. And in the same way, Martinus argues in a logical way so we can reach at the same result as he had reached at. In volume 1 of Livets Bog, Martinus is talking about the thought process from above and the thought process from below. And he is characterizing the energy of intelligence and the energy of intuition. And also in the book Bisettelse, which in English might be funeral or funeral rites, in Esperanto it is sepulto. In German it's Beisetzung. So maybe it could also in English be sepulchres, but we will wait and see. Sepulto, sepulchres. Now we'll see what the title will be, and after this little language course I will proceed. So Martinus is also talking about making research from below and research from above, and he has also made an analysis of the sign of the cross. And he is also characterizing the natural science. They are weighing and measuring physical objects, and they are using their physical senses. But in spiritual science, you are not making physical research. You make a research in the meaning of life. What is the purpose of life? And Martinus talks about spiritual science is research in life utterances. In Danish, we call it livsytringer. It's a research where you try to find out how everything is an expression of life. Life can express itself in different ways. And what is the meaning, the purpose, what is the plan of life? But you cannot measure that with a weight. You cannot see it in a microscope or a telescope. And the natural science, they get to their results from below by weighing and measuring. But you can also come to the truth from above through intuition. Martinus says that is a special sense where you can sense it from above. But Martinus was convinced that gradually spiritual science and physical science would converge. They would melt together. And Martinus said, according to him, the spiritual science was already finished because natural science have a method of working and they are proceeding and proceeding from proceeding. Martinus tells that 3 years after he had got his cosmic consciousness, he had a total overview of the whole universe. So it was not though he had to reach a bigger result during his work. So it was very extraordinary that Martinus, from the beginning of his work, had the total overview, had all the principles, all the natural laws, and so on. So in a way, Martinus said that the spiritual science is finished. It's ready. It's just waiting for the natural science to come from above, from below, from beneath, from below. But natural science is based on intelligence, and they are very physical. But now, in modern science, it becomes more and more theoretical. And in microcosm, they have this theoretical physics, and also the astronomy becomes more and more theoretical. And Martinus says, when science gets more and more theoretical, it gets closer and closer to the spiritual science. And I think it's interesting, they have this theory of Big Bang. They say it must have had a beginning. But according to Martinus' world picture, it's very strange that the whole universe can have a beginning. What was before? Well, all energy was concentrated in one point why did it explode? And they cannot tell what was before. But now they are having different models. And as you know, the numbers, they are infinite. You have infinite big numbers and negative numbers and small numbers. And then in a way you put the eternity into the theories. And in that way you come closer to the spiritual science. What is the working field of Martinus? Well, I heard that the modern theoretical physicists, they are trying to find the theory of everything. They want to put all natural laws into one formula. And they are talking about four important forces. It is the strong nuclear forces, the weak nuclear forces, and its gravitation, and its electromagnetism. And these four forces, they try to find a common formula. And in theoretical physics, they are talking about the string theory. And they want to find one formula that can describe everything. And when I read about that, I said to myself, oh, you could also say Martinus spiritual science or Martinus cosmology is the theory of everything. Because Martinus describes everything. You see, he is talking about life here in mesocosmos. But he says the universe is constructed life, organs, cells, molecules. And he goes in infinitely into microcosmos, super microcosmos. There is no limits to how small a life unit can be. And he goes up, there is planets, solar system, galaxies, groups of galaxies. You can go infinitely in macrocosmos. There are absolutely no limits in space for Martinus. And he also works with eternity. There is no beginning, there is no end. He works with an infinite past and an infinite future. So I think then you have included everything that possibly can exist in time and space. So in that way, Martinus spiritual science or Martinus cosmology is a theory of everything that exists. But natural science has limited themselves to a working field where you can only weigh and measure. And sometimes I think that natural science forget their own definitions of their working field. And maybe it's because that science have had a tremendous success, because due to the science, we have developed a fantastic technology. We have cars and houses, and now we have cell phones and internet and computers, and it is incredibly what kind, all kind of inventions we have made, which makes the life for us very pleasant. And so for that reason, you could say it has been a huge success of science. But then they also think, because maybe, because that's my opinion, because I've had this huge success, they think they know everything. But in a way, their working field are only things that can be weighed and measured and detected by physical means. And I love Martinus' analogy very much, because what is the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? What's the sense? Is there a plan in life? And he compares it with a book. And then if we have an illiterate person that cannot read, should examine such a book, this person will not find out what the book is about. Maybe it's a fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen. But then Martinus compares this person, illiterate person, with natural science. They can weigh the book okay, half a kilogram, and they can measure the width and height and length, and they can calculate the pages, and they can see, oh, there's an A and B and C, and they count how many A's are there in this book, how many B's, how many C's, and then they can make a diagram with frequencies of the different letters, and they can also see points and commas and question marks, and they can see all these signs, and they make a new frequency analysis. But now we have a big revolution. They are now examining the printing ink and put it into a mass spectrometer, and they can see, oh, there are different elements. There is some iron and some lead, and that's a fantastic. And later on they find out, oh, the paper, how is it made? And they dissolve it and put it on a microscope. Impressing is these fibers in the paper. That's a revolution in the research. We have found out the components in the printing ink, and the paper is constructed by fibers and so on. And they can go on and on forever to examine the book by physical means, but they will never reach the point of what it's about. Can that be seen in a microscope or telescope, what the fairy tale is about? They cannot. So the spiritual research is about finding out what is the meaning of the book. And if you understand the language of the book, you can find out what the book is about. So it's a question of understanding the language. And then Martinus calls also the language of life. And it's not by chance that he has called his main work For the Book of Life, because in a way, his main work, The Book of Life, is a grammar. So you can learn to understand the language of life. And then you will find out that life is talking to you, that there is a purpose in life, there is a plan in life. Once I studied botany, I should learn all the wild flowers of Denmark. The little book was called The Flora. And in a way, it is a handbook in observing plants. And they were very systematically in orders and families and species. And it was relatively easy to learn all the flowers because it was put into a system and it was catalogized and so on. It was easier. So it was a handbook in personal observation of the plants. And in the same way, Martinus' book, The Book of Life, Livets Bog, is a manual for observation of life. He shows how you can observe life, and then you can, by these means, learn to find out what is the meaning of life, what is life telling me. I have been educated in natural science. First, I studied chemistry, chemical engineering. I could also tell you when I was a pupil, Before high school, I had a very, very broad horizon. But in high school, I specialized in math and physics and chemistry, so my horizon was a little bit narrower, became narrower. And then I started the first part of studies, chemistry, general chemistry, and then it was biochemistry. And at the end, I had a speciality, a little degree, and then my horizon converts to one single point, and that point is what I called my point of view. And I would also say in natural science, if you have to make a doctor's degree or a PhD, in order to succeed with that project, you should try to write as much as possible about as little as possible. Because then you are really a big specialist if you can write a lot about very little. But I've been very privileged. I had the possibility to study all about atoms and electrons and molecules in chemistry. And later on, I took a master's degree at the university in biology. And then I could study mesocosmos. I could study plants and animals and human beings. And later on, I also studied some astronomy at the university because I would like to be a teacher of physics in high school. And then my parents also knew about Martinus cosmology, so I started to read Martinus spiritual science when I was some 15, 16 years old. So now I've been studying the works for 50 years. But many had asked me, wasn't it an obstacle? Wasn't it difficult for you to accept the theories of Martinus because you have a natural scientific education? But I would say, on the contrary, I started to read Life's Book number 1, and then number 5 about the sexual transformation. And then I went back for number 2. And especially to me, volume 2 and 3 of Life's Book was very interesting, because they have a common title, is called Cosmic Chemistry. And the very first chapter in Life's Book, volume 2, chapter 9, is called The Law of Reaction of the Substances. And Martinus tells that there are some laws for the reaction of energies. And I said, as a chemist, yeah, that's what I believe. And Martinus have some funny examples. If you have a cup of tea and you want to put some sugar in it in order to make it more sweet, you can do that. But if you, by mistake, take some salt, you put some salt in your tea, but you think, you believe it's sugar, what happens? Do you think it'll be sweet? No, it will be salt, because salt has to react according to its nature. Every single chemical compound can only react according to its nature. So there are some natural laws that you cannot change them. You can think about what you want about them, that you can't change your natural laws. So for me, it was really a confirmation for me that Martinus emphasized there are some cosmic laws, some cosmic principles that doesn't change. And then I could understand we have feelings, we have intelligence, we have intuition, we have memory. That is also a kind of energy. Of course, they must also react according to certain laws. So it was so to me, I would say it was a confirmation of Martinus cosmology that I had studied chemistry and physics, because there I learned that there are natural laws that cannot be changed. They are, and there's nobody who has invented them. They have not started at a certain time. They have always been there. They have always existed. So now I mentioned this book, Bezetels and the Sign of the Cross. And then Martinus compares, he talks about the research across the substances, across matter. And you can start in microcosmos. And some people think we will find the solution of the mystery of life in microcosmos, in theoretical physics. Others think, no, we will find the solution of the mystery of life in macrocosmos with our telescopes. But Martinus says it's much easier to solve the mystery of life in mesocosmos. We can talk to other living beings. We can see how living beings are working. But when you go to super microcosmos, at the end, it's only a cloud of electrons. Or if you go into macrocosmos, it becomes more and more diffuse. It's almost just like stellar clouds. So you will not find the solution of life. But here in Mesocosmos, we can find out what life is teaching. We see very sharp here, but not in the telescopes and microscopes. So it's not there we are going to find the solution of life. And being a spiritual researcher, how should you relate to Martinus' analyses? Well, in the first place, Martinus had his cosmic consciousness, and then he have a self-experienced cosmic consciousness. He has experienced the eternal truth, the eternal wisdom by himself, by his own senses. So in the first place, it is only Martinus' knowledge. Then he writes some books, and then people start to read the books. And what Martinus recommends, that is, don't believe me. You should be very skeptical. You should be very critical. You shall really be a researcher. Don't believe what I'm writing. And then he recommends that we try to verify his analysis, to confirm the analysis with our own experiences. And when you make an experience in life, you can say, is that according to Martinus' analysis, or is it showing that Martinus is wrong? And I would say I've been interested in studying Martinus' cosmology for 50 years, and I would say I have never experienced anything in my life that proves Martinus wrong. So to me, it's very convincing. And being a spiritual researcher, it's not some academic business, but it's just simply, if you're interested in Martinus' cosmology, you make your observations in life and see if they can verify and confirm Martinus' analysis. And that is being a spiritual researcher. And there are different areas. I think that you can have Martinus' analysis confirmed by personal experiences, but you can also have the analysis confirmed by science. If I should take an example, that is, Martinus writes about the sexual transformation of man. He talks about animals, and the ape man, the primitive man, is single-pole living beings. And through some million years, we will develop into Christ beings, double-poled beings. And it is a huge period in the evolution. And Martinus describes all the stages all through, and we have not even made the last stages, but he describes a long evolution. And then scientists can start to examine different things. For example, Martinus' analysis shows that there will be more divorces according to the sexual transformation of man. And 100 years ago, 90% of all grown-up people in Denmark lived together with another grown-up person. But now, 100 years later, only 50% grown-ups live together with another grown-up person. And to me, that is a confirmation of Martinus' cosmic analysis, because he has described the evolution. And according to biology and Darwin, you don't know where evolution is going, because it is the mutations. And mutations, they take place by chance. So they say we don't know in which direction the evolution will go, because we cannot know which mutations will show up in the future. And I'm very interested in building a bridge between Martinus' cosmology and natural science. As I said, I've studied natural science, I've studied Martinus, and I would like to build a bridge. And I've done that in my book, Martinus, Darwin, and Intelligent Design. I would like to show in many areas how natural science actually can confirm Martinus' spiritual science. But I can also show the places where natural science go out over the limits. They go into the area to explain what is life, what is the meaning of life. They cannot put that on a weight. They cannot measure it. Then they have gone beyond their own field. And I have today, and to yesterday, I received some good news. My book, Martinus Darwin and Intelligent Design, has now appeared in a Kindle edition at Amazon.com. And the sales statistics shows that one copy has been sold. So I'm very happy today. But I have sort of experienced the attitude from scientific people towards a planned evolution and an evolution with purpose, an evolution where there is a consciousness behind the evolution. And natural science says, if you think there is a purpose of life, you are religious. If you think there is a plan in life, if you think the evolution is planned, you are deeply religious. If you believe there is a consciousness behind, if the evolution is planned, you are deeply religious. So they really think that it takes place by chance. But Martinus can show that there is a meaning in life because he takes eternity into account. Martinus works with that all living beings have a body of eternity. We all have a kernel. We all have a consciousness. And we also here have a body. I would say in natural science, one of the biggest problems of natural science is that they are used to that all objects have had a beginning and will have an end. And if an object have a beginning, there is also a cause to the existence. Why does this chair exist? Because a carpenter has made it. Why does this piano? Because somebody has made it. Why does the doors, the house? Because somebody has built it. So they are so convinced there must be a cause behind everything. And then they start to talk about when did the universe come around? When was the universe created? When was life created? They are still in their own frames. They cannot imagine that there are things that just simply have an existence without any cause. And Martinus is talking a lot about the causeless cause. And you enter a total new science when you find out that you can divide things into two groups. There are things that are created with a beginning, and there is a cause why they exist. And then there is another group, and that is the eternal things. They just simply exists. And natural science don't think in that way, but in a way, they have found out that the sum of energy is constant. You cannot make energy out of nothing. Then we could easily solve the problem of energy. But an existing energy cannot be annihilated. It cannot disappear. It can be transformed into another form of energy. But when you say the sum of energy is constant, you could, with other words, say the energy is eternal. And then you could ask, why is the energy existing? It's just simply existing. There is no other. But you think that's no answer. But it is. That's just because there is. You can explain why creative things exist. But you cannot explain why eternal things exist, because they just simply exist. And then Martinus says, life is existing. Why is life existing? Well, that was because there was a lot of mutation, and then by chance in the ocean, the first cell was created by chance, and then life came around. And but they have still not explained the mechanism. As a biochemist, I must say, they have not at all explained how it was possible that life could come around by chance. But according to Martinus, life is something that exists. The whole universe is an eternal living being. And why is the universe existing? Why is the universe living? It has been it for eternity. There is no explanation. It's so simple. The universe just simply exists. The universe is just simply a living being. And you could also, all living beings have a consciousness. Our consciousness is a kind of electrical field. But why does the consciousness exist? Then you'll have an explanation how some dead matter turned into consciousness. And Martinus says, it's impossible to explain how energy can come from nothing. And it's the same impossible to explain how consciousness can come from something dead. It's impossible to explain it. And then you have turned into what Martinus called the eternal analysis. So he says you have an eternal feeling of I am. You have an eternal self, an eternal I. You have an eternal consciousness. You have also eternally some energies. That is the living being. It's eternally existing. And then this consciousness, which is an electrical field, it can exist as a pure electrical field in the spiritual world. But this electrical field can also possess a physical body. And when the semen and the egg cell are melting together to a zygote, then there is a spirit from the physical, from the spiritual plane that is starting to possess this cell. And then it is the consciousness that develops these fetus. And then actually there is no life on the physical plane. It is our consciousness that makes the physical matter seem living. Now I'm bending and stretching my arms. It looks as if there is life on the physical plane. But actually it is my consciousness. It's an electrical field that is using this. And in Martinus cosmology, all living beings have an eternal body. And then Martinus explained the basis of evolution. Every time when you have made an experience, you have developed. Every time when you have trained and practiced, you have developed yourself. And then all the results of these experiences, training and practices, is talent kernels. And these talent kernels are created in the created world, but they are stored in the body of eternity. And then these can survive the death of the body. And that means no single experience is wasted in the evolution. Every single experience, every single training is a benefit for the evolution. But according to natural science, you are born with 23 pairs of chromosomes. There is a huge information. And now we know from cloning, just if you take one cell from a sheep or a cow, you can make a whole cow and a sheep from one single little cell. And there is a huge amount of information in this one cell in the genes and chromosomes. Then you could ask, I start my life with a huge amount of information. How has this information come around? By chance. That was a strange theory. Okay. Then my whole life I collect and collect and collect and collect information. Maybe I become a genius in chess playing. Of course I could teach you some chess. But when I die, I would say all my experiences about chess playing would disappear with me. So it's also a strange theory. I collect information all life, and at the end of the life, the information disappears in the blue air. So the scientific theory is you start life with a lot of information that come out of the blue air, and you collect information, and it disappears out in the blue air. But then when you have this eternal body, this eternal kernel, it gives sense that you develop because you are collecting information. And then we have been animals, we have been reptiles, we have been fish, we have been worms, we have gone the whole way. And that makes, it gives a meaning in evolution. And Martinus says the purpose of the physical world is perfection. The meaning of the physical world is to construct a new cosmic consciousness from nothing, from the mineral kingdom through plants and animals. We are developing all the time. And really, there is a purpose, there is a plan for the physical world. The plan is evolution. But then there is also this intelligent design theory. They think that it's a little bit like God has created man. But now they say, no, now it has become a scientific theory because they want to teach it in school in United States. But they argue that there is a consciousness behind, there is some planning behind, and I think they have many good arguments. But they are quarreling if there is a continuous evolution or not. I mean, if you see an elephant, a lion, a different animals, you cannot under your time see that they are changing into another species. It looks as if the species are constant. So they have been quarreling very much about that. But they have two fragments of the truth, because according to Martinus, all evolution takes place in small steps, gradually and continuously, exactly as they say in the Darwinism. So they are right in that area. But the others think there must be some plan behind, there must be a consciousness behind. And Martinus says they are also right. They have two fragments, but Martinus can overview everything. And there is the consciousness of the universe, and there is a consciousness of the single living being, and you have to work with both parts. This has been sort of theoretical, but I would also like to treat a little bit how you as an individual could try to confirm or verify the analysis of Martinus. And Martinus is talking about the law of karma. When you are doing something, you get some consequences. And the law of cause and effect is the same as the law of fate, is the same as the law of karma. And this is a way of teaching. Martinus explains, if you make a mistake, and that would have a pleasant consequence, you would not stop making mistakes. But if mistakes have bad consequences, you might consider to stop to make mistakes. And that's the way life is constructed. And when you experience the consequences of your mistakes, you get your karma and your faith. So you could start to see how life is talking to you. The direct talk of life, the direct speech of life. We are subjected to the speech of the universe. Martinus is saying the direct speech of life is an expression of education and bringing up. So in a way, life is educating us, is bringing us up through the law of karma. But it's not just a dead karma machine. We get the karma in specific situations, so it gives some sense. And I would like to give some very simple examples of how I have tried to confirm that life is speaking to me. Many, many, many years ago, I fell in love with a Swedish girl here in Martinus Center, Klint. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then she promised me to send me a letter. And every day I could hear when the postman was there, is there a love letter? And I ran to the door, and there was no letter. And the next day, no letter. 1 week passed, still no letter. 2 weeks passed, still no letter. 3 weeks. Then I started to think, what is life trying to teach me? Would there be one person that would like to get a letter from me? Oh, well, maybe my ex-girlfriend would appreciate to get a letter from me. Then I went home to my apartment, wrote her a letter. And can you imagine, 10 minutes after I had finished the letter, the telephone rang. And that was the Swedish girl. And to me, I felt that is really an interaction with life. I was thinking, maybe it's for that reason, so and so. And very shortly after, I got an answer. I had another example that I was trying to, also many, many years ago, to get rid of an apartment or sell it. And there was a person who wouldn't hand over a key. And I was waiting. I phoned him, I wrote, but I couldn't get my key back. What is life trying to teach me? Why don't I get my key back? Then, I've been teacher at that school. I'm not teaching there anymore, but I still keep the keys to the school. And then I brought the keys back to the school, and immediately after, I got my own key. But I would say this is spiritual research, but it is very difficult to convince others with the theories and so on. You can try to convince others, but then you enter another area where you can be convinced yourself through your own experiences. And I also have my own story about the stamp. And that was once I got a letter where the post office had not put printing ink on the stamp. And as the crook I am, I washed the stamp off, dried it, took some glue and put it on a new envelope. so I could send a letter for free. And some weeks later, I got a letter from a governmental organization, and there was absolutely no stamp on the envelope. And at that time, you had to pay for the postage and pay double. And in the first place, you get irritated. But then I stopped. Oh, I am in the school of life. Life is trying to teach me something. Oh, I got the message. And for many years, I didn't do anything wrong. But then I sent some books to a Martinus-interested person in Hungary. And it was very expensive. I get 20 or 40 kroners. And they also forgot to stamp these stamps, yes. And but he washed them off and sent them and returned them to me so I could use them once again. Okay. So I said, now I'll try and make an experiment. So now I used it again. And then it was very strange. We had a lot of Russian guests here in Martinus Center. And they sent letters back to Russia, and they wrote sender, Martinus Center, Klint, Denmark. And then they were not enough postage. So that the institute here got the bill, and I looked at the letter. Oh, it's too bad that they have a bad impression of Martinus Center at the post office. And I guess the punishment was 25 kroners if it was not enough. And then I said, oh, I understand. I guess it was about 20 kroners I cheated with the Hungarian guy there. So that's some, yes, simple examples. But I guess if you are more aware of it, I shouted on that person, and then he shouted at me. I wouldn't help him, and he wouldn't help me. And I had thrown him out, and then I was thrown out myself. And you will find a lot of different situations. And I would say that is spiritual research, because you are trying to make your personal research in the laws of life, and you will never experience anything by chance. Everything that you experience has a purpose. And Martinus says the direct speech of life is bringing up an education, but it's also an expression of love and entertainment. So sometimes life is here in Klint, we can also enjoy the nature and be entertained and be together with nice people. So that's also a part of the spiritual research. But here at the end, I would like also to mention the prayer, because you cannot really convince others that prayer is working, because sometimes it's too intimate, it's too personal. You cannot really explain it to other people. And Martinus has written a book called The Mystery of Prayer. And the first 8 chapters actually is about prayer as a science. And in these first 8 chapters, Martinus describes the laws of prayer. There are some prayers that cannot possibly be fulfilled. There might be, I don't know, we can take Britney Spears. I want to be married with Britney Spears, and you want, and you want, and you want. And we all pray to God, let me be married to Britney Spears. And God is very kind, God is very loving, but what shall God do? Because only one can be married with her. So it's impossible to fulfill all these prayers. So it's illogical. So normally when you have... Also, I want to win millions of kroners in lotto, and others want. And if all wishes, there's not enough money in the whole world. And now we have had world championships in football. And the Brazilian people, they pray to God, let us win. And the Argentinians, let us win. And the Germans, let us win. What should a good God? Because there is only one set of gold medals. So you can understand there are some laws. And it is about when it is too egoistic. Sometimes it can just simply not be fulfilled. And why should a prayer be fulfilled? I found out it is because God is somewhat egoistic. I'm afraid of the... But I have an analogy. If I am training for Copenhagen Marathon, I'm not, but if I were, I'm convinced that I it would hurt in my knee. What is that? That is a prayer from my micro-individuals. They are crying, help me, help me. But why should I help them? because it would be an advantage for me to help them, because if they had no pain, I would have no pain. So I have a personal advantage in listening to the prayers of my micro-individuals. So in the same way, there are two different kinds of prayers. There are prayers that is an advantage for the totality, for the whole universe. Why should God fulfill such prayers? Because it's an advantage for God. It's an advantage for the universe, for the totality. Because you want something to happen that is good for the totality. Then it is fulfilled. But if you want something that is sort of destroying the universe, you are too egoistic, you want to have some resources, you want to have a lot, and if you get it, the others will lose it. It's egoistic. And if Providence allowed such prayers to be fulfilled, it would be a slow suicide. Then the whole world would... So for that reason, all prayers that are on the same wavelength as the universe. And I would like to say that you could... Martinus has said that there is different steps in evolution, different steps in the prayer. And I would like to divide it into four steps. And the first step is when an animal is crying. There is an animal, there is a beast of prey that has taken a little animal and he's crying. And it's the first kind of prayer. But many people are also praying, let me win a lot of money, let me have a new house, let me have a better job with a bigger salary and lesser work. And there are so many we want. And just like children before their birthday and before Christmas, they are making a long list of wishes. And that is the first step in the evolution of prayer. Then it's only wishes. There could also be a mother. She has a daughter. She has been ill for years and she is praying and praying, praying to God. But the child is not getting healthy. And then maybe she will not have any confidence in God anymore. But in a way, she wants things to change to her advantage. And she is very disappointed because it didn't go that way. But Martinus shows then, on a higher level, you can pray for getting energy and power and force to take your karma, to take your fate. You are in a certain situation and you just simply give me energy, give me inspiration to take this karma. This cannot be a disadvantage for others. So in a way, it is a loving prayer. It is good for your organs and for yourselves. So in that way, you practice neighborly love when you are praying for good health for yourself. If you pray for inspiration and energy, that cannot harm others. That might rather be an advantage for the others. And that kind of prayers will, of course, be heard. It will also be an advantage for the universe, for the totality, that I'm doing better. And for that reason, I will also be helped. But on a third level, which is even higher, then you are willing to sacrifice your own, your own pleasantness. That's what I would say that is. You want absolutely to find the best solution. Also, if it is uncomfortable for me, for example, there could be a man, a wife, they are married, and then the wife falls in love with the house friend. And there is a lot of drama and so on, and there is a divorce and so on. And what should you do in this situation? And maybe the person who has been humiliated could pray to God and say, please, could pray to get the husband or the wife back, but maybe that's not possible. But this person could also pray, please show me the best solution. Which is the best solution for the three of us? And then the culmination is, I want the best solution for the others. If one of the three of us should suffer, I would be the one who suffers. And then Martinus says, then it's not difficult for a guardian angel to put the right ideas into the head. And then you see, that's a prayer on a much higher level, because you are praying for the others in a way. You want a solution which is absolutely best for the totality, and you will have such, and even in such family dramas, maybe you are being humiliated and you feel shameful and so on. But if you can pray in that way, Martinus says, that you are supported by the whole spiritual world. Even if people are laughing at you and humiliating you, Martinus says, it doesn't matter. With the right attitude, you have the support of the whole spiritual world. And I also think that when you study the spiritual science and you practice prayer in this way, you will eventually become more and more intuitive. And often we go to clairvoyants and astrologers and ask friends and therapists, psychologists, and it's very good that we can get help from our surroundings to solve our problems. But if you study the analysis of Martinus, if you turn into a vegetarian and you're practicing prayer and so on, I guarantee you will get more and more intuitive, which means then you can get the solutions of your own problems from above with the right attitude. And then we are coming to the fourth step in prayer. And maybe now you are very excited. What might be the highest? And I'm a little bit afraid you might be disappointed, because the fourth and highest level of prayer, which is the final purpose of prayer, that is just simply that you talk with God, that you talk with a friend. It is just conversation. The purpose of prayer is conversation with the universe, that is conversation with God. And even though the universe is eternal and infinite, it is possible to get a personal relationship to God. It sounds very strange, but if you don't know a person, you should start to talk to this person. And the more you talk to this person, the better you learn this person to know. And I have a little example. That was my father was 13 years older than my mother, and he died 12 years before my mother. And she was very fond of my father, and they could talk about everything, but the last 12 years of her life, she was alone. And then she told me, she was also interested in Martinus, she told me that she started to pray or to talk more to God, and that had strengthened her relationship to God. So in a way, our partner is a kind of idol, a kind of a wrong god, sort of, because we are cultivating what it called, you are talking to this single person, but you should turn your attention to the whole universe. And I also read some pages in the diary of Hans Christian Andersen. He had also his own cosmic religiosity. And he talked to God, and when he wrote his diary, you could see he had a correspondence with God. Thank you because I met this kind person, and thank you because you gave me that invitation. And I was very touched by that. So it shows also that he was a very intuitive and a very, very developed person. And Martinus had cosmic consciousness. I think his life would have been like if you are a grown-up person that only are surrounded by children. You could be very lonely. But Martinus, he was never depressed or lonely because he had this strong relationship to God. He could always talk to God. And that is, in a way, also the purpose of the whole spiritual science. But you cannot really teach others. But if you want to control also the laws of prayer, you should make your own experiences experiments in this way. So what Martinus recommends in many of the endings of his lectures, that is that we should try to behave like the sun. The sun is shining on crooks and on saints. It is shining on good and bad people. It is sending its light and warmth to all other people. And we should also try to behave in the same way. And maybe it's easier because everybody that we meet is, everybody is cells in God's organism. So also this conversation with God should not only be in a telepathic way. You should also be conscious about it in the outer world, that the whole life is a conversation with God. And even it sounds a little bit religious, this is also being a spiritual researcher to confirm the laws of prayer. Thank you for your attention.